This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
John Gibbons and Neil Atkinson on the day that Liverpool, the city of Liverpool and the football world lost Ronny Moran. According to some, Paul Moran, after a short illness at the age of 83. As a player, he played 343 games for Liverpool, scoring 6 goals. He won things at Liverpool as a player too. He won the Football League First Division in 63-64, the Football League Second Division in 61-62. He famously missed out on an FA Cup winner's medal in 1965, but by 66 he'd been invited onto the coaching staff by Bill Shankly. His honours as a coach are absolutely ridiculous. 11 First Division titles, 4 European Cups, 4 FA Cups, 5 League Cups, 2 UEFA Cups, 1 Super Cup and 10 Charity Shields. And also, it should be pointed out, countless titles as coach of the very formidable Liverpool reserves in the old Central Leagues back in the day when there was only 2 teams on Merseyside. By the time of his retirement, he'd worked consecutively for Liverpool under 9 different managers, from George Kay to Roy Evans, doing every single job imaginable. The book that came out just a few weeks ago now, and that Paul worked very hard on, Neil, is called Mr. Liverpool, and it's hard to imagine a man more fitting of that title.
Absolutely not. It's, you know, when you go through that level of service, really, to football club / city, and I think he'd probably think much more football club, because that was his life and that was the job. And I think that it's an era of men, really, who very much did the job that was in front of them. And I think that that's something which is, you know, we've talked in the past about. One of the best things you can say about anyone is they do a day's work.
Yeah.
And that's very much, before you even get into the nature of the day's work that's done, that's very much what comes through, both in the book, but also which comes through from those, you know, from that level and longevity of service, is you're not being kept around in those circumstances if you're not, first and foremost, very, very hard working. And that can sound like you're damning someone with faint praise, and it really isn't. You imagine being very, very hard working for 50 years.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. That's your ethos, and that's your outlook, and that's the first thing that you demand of yourself. And so therefore, it's completely authentic if you demand that of everybody else. If you don't shirk, then no one else can shirk, if you know what I mean. But if you're someone who does shirk, then other people can go, oh, well, he's swinging the lead a bit there, so I can get away with it. And the key thing that comes through all the Ronny Moran stuff is that he didn't let people get away with it. He grafted and he expected the same of everybody that he worked with on a daily basis at any level of the football club. And it's a sad day, but it's good that the book's come out, and it's good that you're able to look back on that as a huge positive and as a huge sort of life experience, and immersing yourself in a game that we'd all quite like to immerse ourselves in, if we're honest about it, John.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I'm sure if he was sat here now and able to talk to us, he'd say, well, I was very lucky to be at Liverpool for that length of time. I was very lucky to spend my whole adult life really working for a wonderful football club. And that's what he was able to do. But he was also very good at reminding everyone else of that as well. And, you know, you talk about a little bit there about sort of keeping feet on the ground. And the fact that Liverpool won 11 league titles while he was there was a lot to do with the fact that he was constantly reminding people, well, next year we've got to win again, we've got to win again.
When we did John Barnes, we spoke to John Barnes at an event at the Flory, and John Barnes said that, you know, first week he's in, and Ronny Moran, he feels he's had a good session of training, he comes back into the dressing room and Ronny Moran tells him he's not as good as Alfaro Smith. which throws open a number of questions for John Barnes in 1987.
I'm sure the first one, who's Alfaro
Smith? And I think he was t- told in no uncertain terms not to worry about who Alfonso Smith was and improve his own game to get to Alf's heady levels. And I think that, you know, but things like that, having that sort of that the cultural memory in terms of being able to say, well, I saw an Alfonso Smith lad, is genuinely a thing. And I think that it's something which is now, you know, you do feel a little like it's been lost a bit in the game, because it's hard to have that institutional memory now for tons and tons of reasons. And we accept the reasons and we sort of know them. But at the same time, it's something that I think we all want to see come back. It's something that you look overseas and you feel envious of, for instance, the way in which German clubs and Dutch clubs seem able to get the footballers into positions moving forward. But you sort of didn't need to think about that or do that. And I think in many ways that's why there is, across the English game full stop, but why there was a bit of complacency at Liverpool about it, about not having to work on it. Well, it's because you've got Ronnie Moran. If you know what I mean, if you've got someone like Ronnie Moran or someone like Roy Evans, if you've got these fellas, you can sort of go, well, of course we've got that sorted. We don't have to think about it. They're just sorting it out. And it's a real, you don't know what you've got until it's gone.
Yeah.
Thing, I think, because you haven't worried about the next number of people who can do that, you can just sort of lose it. And as you say, the honours. What the honours tell you is that, you know, if you're playing for Liverpool in 1986, and you think you're a bit special, well, Ronnie Moran can tell you how hard Kevin Keegan worked.
Yeah,
he can tell you literally, this is what Kevin Keegan used to do. So you think I'm. This is a completely fictional example, but you know, if you're Paul Walsh and you're letting up a bit, well, Ronnie Moran can tell you exactly what Kevin Keegan used to do and why he was better than you. Yeah. And you've got to take it, if you know what I mean. Like in any walk of life, there's some people who they tell you stuff and you've got to take it, and you've got to go, well, I either rise to the challenge of what he's just laid down or I don't. And in the world that is football, someone who can just lay a gauntlet down to you and say, I expect, this is what we expect, this is who you are, this is what's gone before you, this is how hard we expect you to work, this is the way in which it works.
Yeah, the Twitter reaction from former players has been really nice today. Do kind of have a look at those. I'm sure they'll be easy to find, and it's quite hard to find someone with a bad word to say against Ronnie Moran, really, which is quite surprising, Neil, because he had a lot of bad words for the players he was coaching.
But I think there's something else in this, which is that we even here, for instance, when I want to focus on the hard work thing, but there's other things, which is we talked to Damien Hughes, and Damien Hughes, I think in his books, and I think he said on the two shows that he's done, he said that observe coaching. And one of the things he says to coaches is, you know, if I throw you one ball, can you catch it? Yeah. If I throw you two balls, can you catch them? Yeah. If I throw you five balls, how many will you catch? None. And loads, whether it was thought through or just innate, loads and loads of what comes out about that period of these men, including Shankly, Paisley, Ronnie Moran, these men knew exactly how many balls to throw at you, how to throw them at you, how to say things in one sentence that some people would take five, me included, you know how verbose I can be, how to make it clear in one sentence, this is what we expect, this is what we want, this is what you'll do, just in the quickest, most direct way that players can understand. But that also, all of these men were remarkably tactically astute. It wasn't just turning up. And that's why the players themselves talk now a lot of the time, and they say, oh, there wasn't that much tactics, they just tell us one sentence.
Yeah.
Well, that's them telling you how to play football, and that's them helping you tactically and helping you technically. That's them coaching you. Yeah. We didn't really get much coaching. We were playing five-a-sides, and they just say something every now and again. Well, they're watching you play five-a-sides, and they're saying something every now and again to coach you. And it's easy to sort of to make fun of that sort of thing, but that's innate sort of coaching at its highest level, at its epoch, really, is being able to get those sorts of results, communicate that directly, that efficiently, so you're not overburdening people with information. You're just making them far better at their jobs. You're making them work hard and far better at the jobs. And if that's not sort of what being a football coach is, then I just don't know what it is, if you know what I mean. That's what it is when you boil it down.
Yeah. I think another thing that's kind of exaggerated as well is this idea of, oh, well, someone like Ronnie Moran couldn't work now, because you look at the range of managers that he worked under, as I say, from George Kay to Roy Evans, and you can't tell me the football didn't change in that time.
Yeah.
Whereas Robbie Fowler, you know, was seen as one of the first of a new generation of football, the millionaire footballers, the Spice Boy. Robbie Fowler thought he was brilliant. I had a little look at Robbie Fowler's book this morning, and because we're going to compile a few things from a few autobiographies and put it out. And, you know, Robbie Fowler, you know, speaks the absolute world of him. And so, you know, he's a completely different generation from, you know, Alfonso Smith, you know what I mean? But they all think he's great.
Yeah, and I think that's, but again, it's back to what your expectations are on training grounds, and someone who sets the expectations. Everyone, I'm broadly of the view that almost everyone wants to do what they enjoy and wants to work hard at it. And it's creating the environment where that's a thing. So, of course, you can say, well, you're in all the money in the world, but for instance, right now, we like to think we're talking about a Liverpool manager who works his players harder than absolutely anybody else.
Yeah.
See, I refuse to believe that, you know, a 40-year-old Ronnie Moran couldn't fit in perfectly well with the sort of environment Klopp was trying to set up. You know, Liverpool, which is that the expectation is that it's smart coaching, it's intelligent coaching, but it's also it's really, you know, the way in which when we interviewed Klopp, the way in which he was speaking about pre-season, that it was his happiest time. It's hard graft on the training ground. He's there at 7. Again, you know, and that's the other thing. You look at that now, and they're the first there. The coaches are the first there. They're the ones who work as hard. They're there first, the last to leave. That's the job. And embracing that job and doing it as though it's every day is a joy, which I think is one of the things that comes through in the book and comes through with everyone who works with Ronnie, which, yeah, he'd shout at you and he'd bark at you. But it is the Shankly quote, which I think we've got up on the wall somewhere, which is, great to be alive, boys. All you need is the green grass and a ball. And that's if you can put that over, I'd like to think in everyone's job, but if someone can put over in such a lovely way, which I think is, again, the Ronnie Moran thing, which Shankly laid down, which they all adhered to and loved, all you need is green grass and a ball, then how could you not enjoy going to work under that environment, even if he would tell you you were crap?
You've done really well finding that quote, by the way, in such a short space of time. There's a lot of quotes on our wall, but thanks to Neil for joining me to that, and obviously thanks to Ronnie Moran for everything he did for Liverpool. It's a real shame that the Ronnie Moran on Alfaro Smith so special will now never happen. But but a huge, massive thanks from all of us, I think, at the Anfield Rap to Ronnie Moran for everything he did. I'm really pleased that Paul's book came out now a few weeks ago. I went to the launch a few weeks ago and managed to speak to a few Liverpool players about Ronnie Moran. Obviously, this, as I say, this was about two, three weeks ago now, so this was before the news of Ronnie's death broke, but I'm sure they'd speak of him exactly the same way today as they did then. So this is Phil Neal, Alan Kennedy, Roy Emmons and Phil Thompson on Ronnie Moran.
Here's the launch of Mr. Liverpool with Phil Neal. Phil, it's great hearing you speak about Rob Ronnie and have the warmth that people still have for him. And I think that's what really resonates and leads. You see a lot of the club legends here tonight, the real warmth that they still hold for the man and what he did for the Liverpool Football Club.
Yeah, you've got to be alongside Ronnie. He was a winner through and through. He may have obviously not played as many first team games as he would have hoped as a player, but he certainly presented a winning aptitude to every player that was in his team in the red shirt, and it came across to me just how powerful he was during his time. You know what I mean? And he was. He could fall out with people quite quickly, but then he could also pat you on the back. And once you got the story around, you knew which way. And he drove people on and kept people's feet firmly on the ground, as did all of the staff. Yeah.
The book touches on his playing career as well, which I think is worth remembering. And some of us younger Liverpool fans might not know Ronnie as a player, but as you pointed out in the talk there, he wasn't shy of telling you guys what a good player he was.
Oh, he reminded us every day, you know, kind of, in other words, if you're going to mess around in training, he didn't like that. You know, there was an aptitude that he wanted, as did everybody on the staff wanted a certain pitch in training. If he felt it dropped below that, he would make you run, you know, kind of quarter miles round the track or whatever. He would go to a running session that would last three quarters of an hour. You know, he knew we didn't like that. We loved to move the ball quickly and everything else that he obviously had learned at Liverpool. And so he had a brilliant way of telling us he wasn't happy, but then he showed too that he was happy. You know what I mean? When trophies came in and we'd done the business, and our feet were firmly on the ground, like I said, that report, I can see him coming into the dressing room with first division kind of medals for all of us who have played 14 games or more during that season, you know, and it was amazing. There wasn't a big do, you know, he just threw them at him. You know, and Joe might have been in on it, and the boss said, well, how many games have you got? You know, you had to play a certain number, and he threw the medal to you. You know, this was in July, and where you'd won it in May, you know, so he was already planning, or the staff were already planning for another year of battling and getting there to win trophies again. And we were phenomenal, and Ronnie was a phenomenal person behind the scenes and should never be forgotten. He was a winner, at training through and through, because he reminded us. And I can see him taking certain issues out on the kids, you know, that he used to play off site. You know, the first team were allowed the last half an hour on their own, you know, seven aside or something, and Ronnie was playing with the kids, you know, and Shang and Paisley, whatever, they all tried to join in, and Ronnie, God, he could tackle, you know, he would let the young kids know how to tackle and everything else, and he was just like that with the first team too, if you stepped out of line. But he made you achieve every year, you know, the standard is this. I may have just given you another one, but we're starting all over again. Here we are, the end of July, right, or certainly the first week in July, we're back pre-season, and he's thrown you the first division medal, but hey, you get nothing for last year, come on, we're going again, you know, and off we used to trot, you know.
With Alan Kennedy now, he talked a lot about the impact that the Ronnie Milan had and how he was to deal with. As someone who joined Liverpool Football Club, I'm just interested in a new signing, first impressions of this phenomenon, whether there was someone like him where you come from, or whether he was just a completely different type of individual to what you used to.
Yeah, I'd never come across anybody, to be fair, like Ronnie in my time. And yet, you know, the likes of Terry McDermott and the likes of Phil Thompson, David Fairclough, David Johnson, who I knew from my England days, my early England days, they told me about Ronnie and what he represented, because he was Mr. Liverpool. And yet, when I first came to Liverpool, I hadn't really heard of Ronnie Moran as a coach or whatever. And you know, when I first came to the club, you know, he was one of the first persons that I actually got to meet. You know, obviously I've got a sign for Liverpool, but when I went into the training ground, Ronnie was there to look me over and you know, give me a few you know, pointers of what it means to play for Liverpool Football Club. And he was always, you know, on my side, wanting me to do well. And if I didn't listen to him, then he'd make sure that I knew about it.
Yeah.
You know, there were times when I didn't listen to him, and I played my own game, and that was the wrong thing to do.
Yeah.
When I was at Newcastle, I was more of an individual. When I came to Liverpool, I had to be more of a team player. And he was trying to get me to play as a, you know, as a team rather than anything else, and consequently, you know, I missed one or two games in that first season, but he was always there to help me out, but he was always also there to give me a right rollicking if I needed it, you know. And sometimes Ronnie would moan, you know, about the game, but we still won, and that was the key to anything. I was told, if you're winning, when I came from Newcastle, they weren't so much a winning team, so when I came to Liverpool and winning every week and every week, and certainly in the league, it was fantastic to be part of it, you know. And but certainly Ronnie would never ever let your feet, you know, leave the ground. He was always like down to earth and making sure that, you know, we'll see you Monday, okay, you can have Sunday off, that's very kind of you, Ronnie, you can have Sunday off, and then we'll see you Monday, can't wait for it.
What I liked about talks tonight is that, especially towards the end, it was put across really the importance of this book coming out, and not just something that's nice, but it's reminding people of the importance of Ronnie Milan, really. And
to,
you know, we can talk about the great figures in Liverpool's history, and some people can sometimes be forgotten, but Ronnie shouldn't, should he?
No, and there's been many great, I'll call them leaders, because Ronnie was a bit of a leader as well, although he won't class himself as one. You know, he was a strong individual, as was Joe Fagan, you know, and we've had Roy Evans here tonight as well. But look at Phil Thompson, strong character on the pitch, strong character, you know, off the pitch. And that's exactly what Ronnie transferred from being a player to, you know, he was strong, you know, and, you know, it was the right way. It was the right way. And he influenced, I think, a lot of people in terms of, like, their character in the game. And I think, certainly from my point of view, I owe Ronnie a big debt of gratitude, what he did for me. I thought I wouldn't have been the same player if it wasn't for him. I know he takes his instructions from Bob Paisley, and Bob might be saying to him, get at Alan Kennedy, do this, do that. Well, I did it. He did it for the right reasons, and that was good. That was good, and it inspired me as well. I use that word because, like, you know, I might fall flat on my face, and I might think, you know what, Ronnie, you're wrong there. But you know what, you're right. You know, he was right all the time. He was such a, you know, a great inspiration to the whole team. You know, and he'd tell you straight. He wouldn't mince his words. If you've had a poor game, if you've let the team down, whether you're Dalglish or whether you're Souness or whether you're Kennedy, you're told, and you take it in, and then you come back fighting.
With Roy Evans now, you spoke both in the book and tonight about the good cop, bad cop thing you had with going with Ronnie Moran, and I'm interested to know if there's any times when a new player came and you were a bit surprised by Ronnie and how he was with them, and if you had to sort of put an arm around them and kind of reassure them.
Yeah, I think everybody was surprised at Ronnie, but obviously when you come, everyone treats you nicely anyway when you've come, so it was one of them. So the first time somebody starts to shout at you, which would normally be Ronnie, it comes as a surprise. But as I said, it becomes a nice surprise, because you feel like, okay, you're a new player and you want people to give you feedback, if you like, whether it's good or bad. Obviously you want it to be mostly good, but I think it is refreshing that someone can, you know, feel that they have the ability to say, hey, no, you're not doing what we thought you could do. You've got to do this way, you've got to do that way.
Yeah.
He didn't try to change people. He just was always on the case for people's attitude. Yeah. And that was a great thing.
It's yourself here, there's obviously Ronnie Moran, and it reminded to me that the continuity that used to be at Liverpool, and now when you get a new manager in, it's all the old coaches out. They bring all the new coaching staff with them, and I'm sure there's reasons they want to do it, they want to work with their own team, but it makes me wonder what Liverpool as a football club are losing by not having someone who's been there, who understands the club, who, you know, just a bit of continuity for the players as well.
Well, it worked for years and years, and obviously, but sometimes you change one or two, but I mean, once you start changing the whole thing, then you're going to lose all the things we've learnt over many, many years. Okay, you're bringing some new stuff in, and obviously the game changes year by year, so it is different now. I mean, obviously there's very few British managers in the game, the top levels, a lot of foreign managers, which, okay, that's the way the game has gone, obviously on the pitch as well. So I think it becomes more difficult, because they bring their own coaching staff in, and when they leave, they take them with them again, so that has become some sort of problem. But and I don't know how you get around that, because I don't think foreign managers, coaches, they're not going to stay behind when he leaves, so you're not going to get that continuity anymore, I don't think.
No, what I really liked about tonight, you said at the end, was, and I think it's really important, is that just because Ronnie Moran's messages were simple and straightforward, and he saw the game very simply, doesn't mean that these fellas weren't geniuses and they weren't ahead of the time in how they viewed the game. And I think, you know, that could be forgotten sometimes. You know, people think, oh, they just played five a side, but these coaches, like, and Ronnie Moran was one of the main ones, were so intelligent in how they saw the game and how they read it, and in spotting a player like yourself.
That was a good interview, though. No, listen. Yeah, Ronnie Moran's position at the football club was absolutely astonishing, and it was those people who disrespected us and said that we'd never got. We did, and it was every single day as people, first of all, because they got it into us how important it is to be ready for the next match. And every day we trained, it was appertaining to what happened on a match day. Pass and move, the Liverpool way was there, and it was drummed into us time and time again, get it, give it, move, and it was a constant theme. We had one touch, we had two touch, we had pass, move forward, or closing down. If we hadn't done Wenger pressing, and this is going back all those years, Ronnie Moran would call it hounding. And we would have, he would go, hound, and we'd be having to go and close down on somebody. So in those days, it's not rocket science what happens now, you know, and sweeper keepers now. Ray Clements was doing that all those years ago. We didn't have a goalkeeping coach to tell them. They would appreciate that out there on the football pitch. You make decisions for yourself. And that was the glory of Ronnie Moran.
That was Phil Neal, Alan Kennedy, Roy Evans and Phil Thompson. Four Liverpool legends in their own right, and four players who served under Ronnie Moran, and a couple who've coached with him there as well. So thanks to them for giving their thoughts on Ronnie. And as we said right at the start, this has been made on the day that Liverpool and the football world lost Ronnie Milan at the age of 83. Our thoughts are with Paul and the rest of his family. Do buy the book, Mr. Liverpool, Ronnie Milan, the official life story. It's out now. It's available to buy in all the usual places. If you may be a new Liverpool fan and someone who's picked them up in the last, say, 5-10 years, and you're interested in the history of the football club, there's no better place to start, I don't think, than the story of Ronnie Milan. So do buy that, do support the book. I'm sure that'll be comfort to Paul and the rest of the family at this time, if lots of people showed a renewed interest in the story of the man who they rightly called Mr. Liverpool.
Sports Social Podcast Network.